Okay. Okay, good evening, everyone.
Hello.
So we've been talking about the Hilchos Shabbos, and we've been talking about the halachas of hadlakas neiris, the bracha, the reason to light the neiris, and then the last couple of weeks we've been transitioning into Chanukah. So I found another topic also that does the same. It sort of joins together the hadlakas neiris with the Chanukah, along with a lot of other interesting points along the way. So there's something called, the title of the shir is something called Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mibishlucho. So that means that there's a greater mitzvah to perform the mitzvah yourself, to actively be involved, to physically be involved in the mitzvah yourself, rather than just appoint the shliach. So for example, if I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, to an opportunity to return a lost object or something, should I physically do it myself? Or can I just appoint an agent here, give it to your worker here, you take care of it, you do this for me, or to light Shabbos candles, or to light Chanukah candles, or any mitzvah. Is it better to do it yourself, or is it better to do? Is there any advantage, or is there any enhancement to do it yourself rather than to have someone else do it for you? So the Gemara says, "Mitzvah bo." There's a bigger mitzvah yourself, yoser mibishlucho, more than if you would do it through an agent. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is, what happens if you have the opportunity to perform the mitzvah yourself? But at the same time, if I get someone else to do it, it'll enhance the quality of the mitzvah. So what's better? Is it better to do the mitzvah myself, and the mitzvah will be compromised, it'll be less of a quality, and we're going to have a lot of examples along the way. Or is it better that someone else should do the mitzvah, and the quality of the mitzvah will be enhanced? That's the question.
You came to mind a bris.
A bris, very good. That's one of the examples. One of the examples. So like don't try this at home, right? Okay.
Like a chatan, he's mechuyav to do the kiddushin to himself.
The kiddushin, right? Very good, exactly.
Right. And he doesn't do it because
he appoints a shliach. So really, the chasan does do the kiddushin himself. He's the one who says harayat mekudeshes li, and he gives the ring. He puts the tabas on the etzba, mm-hmm. Right?
So he has to do it.
So right. Technically, he could appoint a shliach. He could physically say, so I'm going to stay home. You, right? You, I don't want to miss the whatever. You, right? You give the ring to the bride on my behalf, and you marry her to me, and I'll get married in abstentia, right? So there is a mechanism to do that. You could appoint the shliach, and the shliach will perform the act of kedushin for you. So that's actually where the Gemara says mitzvah bo yosim ebishlochem. And that's exactly what we're going to see right now.
What type of hiddur mitzvah would that be?
So we're going to soon see in a second.
So Masada Kedushin is not a shaliach?
The Masada Kedushin is not the one performing the Kedushin. The Masada Kedushin is just arranging it, and he's reciting the brachos. But the actual Kedushin is the chassan. Usually the chassan is giving the ring, right? The chassan is the one who's saying, harei at mikudeshes li, and gives the ring. Right. A shliach would say, harei at mikudeshes li ploni, right, b'tapazu, you are hereby married to him, not to me, to him, right, with this ring. And the Gemara in Kedushin is full of examples where you're appointing a shliach and to either give a Kedushin or to give a get or whatever it is, and the shliach has to follow the instructions.
Interesting, what if he said li?
So that's a whole question.
Yeah.
It's a whole question. The person said li, but he means that he meant the mishaleah. So the rishonim actually discussed that if he could explain his words afterwards. That's an excellent question. So everybody hit it on the nail, hit the nail on the head.
You're asking what if he actually decided he wanted to.
No. No, but you're right. That's a mishnah in the third parak of Kedushin, that if you appoint a shliach to get married and then he goes ahead and he marries the girl to himself. So the Gemara says, naturally, that what he did, he did. He did what he did, he did. There's a question if he did the right thing, if he double-crossed the Mishaleach, but obviously the Kedushin would be effective if he decided at the last minute to marry the girl himself. Okay, so the Gemara says in Kedushin, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So this is the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah begins, Ha'ish Mekadish Bo U'Bishlucho. That exactly what everybody was saying. A man could affect the Kedushin either himself or through his agent. He can either be the one to give the ring and say Harayat Mikudeshes Li, or he can appoint an agent and say, and the agent will say Harayat Mikudeshes Laploni, right? There are two valid ways of doing Kedushin. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Hashta Bishluchai Mekadesh, if the Mishnah teaches us that you can be Mekadesh, you can marry through an agent, Bo Mi Boy, So certainly you can marry her yourself, right? Because if it will be unnecessary to say that you can marry yourself. If you can appoint an agent, then obviously you can marry her yourself, because we have a rule that anything you can't do yourself, you can't appoint an agent. Mm-hmm. So by saying that you can appoint an agent, that includes that you can obviously perform the Kedushin yourself. So Omar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, you know why the Mishnah says you can marry her yourself or through your agent? It's teaching me mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho, that there's a greater mitzvah to perform the Kedushin yourself even more than an agent. There's a greater mitzvah to perform the mitzvah of Kedushin yourself. It's very interesting, because we could have thought that the mitzvah of Kedushin is just a hechsher. We could have thought that it's just facilitates being able to be married and to procreate. We wouldn't have thought that there's an actual mitzvah in the Kedushin itself, and the Rishonim actually debate that. But the Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah to perform the act of Kedushin yourself rather than appoint an agent and do the mitzvah through the agent, even though you'll be just as married. It doesn't, in the long run, it doesn't make a difference in the marriage. You'll be just as married whoever performed the act of the Kedushin, the giving of the ring, whatever.
Why is that?
Mitzvah bo. So we're going to soon see in a second. So ki hadra of safra. Now the Gemara brings beautiful examples. The Gemara makes an analogy. So the Mishnah started talking about Kedushin, but then the Gemara extends it to getting ready for Shabbos, Shabbos preparations. Rav Safra was machrech resha. Rav Safra, he used to prepare the head. He used to singe off the feathers of the meat and prepare the meat himself. Rava molach shibuta. Rava would salt the fish. So now, why is it that it's mitzvah bo yosim mibishlucho? So Rashi explains, and this is a quote from the Rashi: the chi asik gufo b'mitzvos. If you engage your body, if you're physically engaged in the mitzvah, mekabel schar tvei. You receive more reward, right? It's basically a klal. It's really a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, lefum tzara agra, that the more effort you expend, the greater the reward. So if you sit back at home and you appoint someone else to do the mitzvah, so you'll get the credit of the mitzvah, you'll be yotze the mitzvah, but you didn't exert the effort in the mitzvah. If you exert the effort in the mitzvah, then you take ownership of the mitzvah, then you receive much more reward. So there's a klal, mitzvah bo, yosim mebishlucha. Now, This is the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Mem Aleph, and this halacha, this statement of the Gemara, is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch it says in Simin Reish Nun in chapter 250 Hilchos Shabbos, Afilu yesh lo kama avadim l'shamsha. This is a quote from the Shulchan Aruch. Even if one has many servants who can assist him, yishtadel. So I highlighted this because if you look at the different lashonis, it's very interesting the different expressions of the poskim. To what extent do we say that it's better to do it yourself? The Gemara's expression was, mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. There's a greater mitzvah. Rashi says you get more reward. There's a mitzvah to do it yourself. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, yishtadel. You should take an effort. You should try. You should try to do something yourself. L'hachan ba'atzmai. This is talking about getting ready for Shabbos. So even if one has many servants who could attend to his needs, he should try. He should make the effort, l'hachan ba'atzmai, to prepare himself, shum davar, something, l'tzarchei Shabbos. So just like the Gemara gave examples that the great sages of the Gemara, they salted the fish themselves, they did this themselves. So the Shulchan Aruch brings that even if you have many servants, you should do something physically. You should physically prepare something in honor of Shabbos, in order to honor the Shabbos. Ki Rav Chista, the Gemara gives an example. Rav Chista, he would dice the vegetables for the salad. He would make the Israeli salad, right? Rav Chista himself would dice the vegetables to make the salad. Rabba of Rav Yosef, Hayumuvakan Eitzim. Rabba and Rav Yosef, they chose to get ready for Shabbos. So what did they do? They chopped the wood. They chopped the wood for the fireplace. They made the wood for Shabbos. Rav Zera, what did Rav Zera do? Hayamad Lekoesh. He would light the fire for Shabbos. Rav Nachman, Hayumisakan Habayas. He would prepare the house. Umachnis Kalim Hatzrichan L'Shabbos. And he would bring out the kalim, the vessels, the utensils that were necessary for Shabbos. He'd take out maybe the leichter, he would take out the china, put it on the table. Umafana klei hachoil, and he would clean up all the weekday things. He'd put away all the cell phones, all the muksa things, put it away for Shabbos. Umehem yulmad kol adam. So here's the Shulchan Aruch. From these great sages of the Gemara, we should all learn, we should take a lesson. Beloy yoimar, a person should not say, loy efgoim kavodi, that it's beneath my dignity to do this work, this menial task myself. I have many servants, or I'm a great sage in the Gemara. It's below my dignity, beneath my dignity to light the fire myself. I don't do it during the week. I have servants to help. Why should I be the one to chop the wood? Why should I be the one to light the fire? A person should not say that. Kizehu kvodo, because this is your honor, shemechabit ha-Shabbos, because you honor the Shabbos through that. It's very interesting because the Bir Alacha says that why does the Shulchan Aruch have to say that? Don't say it's beneath your dignity. Rather, it should be considered an honor for you to honor the Shabbos. So the Bir Alacha says, because we do find that sometimes you're not required to go beneath your dignity to do a mitzvah. So for example, there's a concept of kavod habrios, right? Mm. Human dignity. So for example, imagine if you have a great sage, or imagine if you have somebody, you know, an elderly gentleman, a person in his 80s, an elderly, and then he finds a basketball, a kid's basketball. So maybe it's beneath his dignity to go through the streets holding a basketball to return the lost object, right? Maybe it's beneath his dignity. Maybe people are going to laugh at him. So the pasuk actually says v'salamta, that sometimes you're allowed to not perform the mitzvah. If you wouldn't carry such a thing through the street, even if it belonged to you, then you're not, because it's beneath your dignity, it's embarrassing for you to carry this object, then you would not be required to return somebody else's lost object either, because you don't have to care. It's an interesting concept. You don't have to care more about somebody else's object than you would regarding your own object. If it's sincerely beneath your dignity, if it's embarrassing for you to carry such a thing through the street, then you wouldn't be required to return the lost object if it's somebody else's. It's a very interesting halacha. Yes. And kavod habrios applies.
Maybe it's
embarrassing to go to the market and to buy the food, or maybe it's embarrassing to chop the wood. Who knows where he's chopping the wood? So on that, the Shulchan Aruch responds, don't look at it that way. It's not getting ready for Shabbos. Even the most menial of tasks is not beneath anyone's dignity, because it should be an honor to get ready for Shabbos.
So we can learn an example from Avraham Avinu that he prepared himself for that.
They bring that. So in other words, it's an honor to do a certain thing, so it's not considered beneath anybody's dignity.
You love something.
There's a Gemara in Kedushin that Rav Nachman, the great Rav Nachman in the Gemara, we talked about this last week, he would physically put the makkah, he would put the fence around the roof. He wouldn't hire someone. He physically did it himself because it was an honor for him to physically perform the mitzvah. Now the Rambam also says that it brings this halacha. The Rambam says in Perek Lamed, we learned a lot of that perek together over the past few weeks, that's the perek that describes getting ready for Shabbos, honoring the Shabbos. Bezel Shoini, here's the quote from the Rambam. Even if you have somebody who is very prestigious, very honorable, the ain darko likat dvarim min hashuk, and it's not his way to go into the marketplace and buy things in the marketplace. He's an elderly gentleman. He's a great sage, whatever it is. So it's beneath. It really is beneath his dignity to be found in the supermarket. And it's not his way to do menial tasks in the house. Perhaps he's a major. He's a billionaire, and he has a whole fleet of. He has a whole staff of servants. Chayiv. See, here's the lashon of the Rambam. Chayiv. He's obligated. Even such a person who never does these tasks the rest of the week is obligated to perform something with his body, physically, in honor of the Shabbos, shezehu kvodoy, because he should look at it as if that is an honor to him, that he should physically be involved in the preparations of Shabbos. So just on the side, if you notice, everybody's using different expressions here, various levels of severity, so to speak. The Gemara itself just calls it a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do the mitzvah yourself, like extra credit. It's a mitzvah to do the mitzvah yourself. The Shulchan Aruch says, yishtadl, you should try. The Rambam says, a stronger expression, chayif, there's an obligation to do something yourself. So we have the various expressions. So the Bir Halacha, that's the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha writes that the Lashon of the Gemara is just a mitzvah and not chayif, and that's also the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah Berurah actually questions, the Bir Halacha questions, where did the Rambam get such a strong expression from that it's an obligation? He doesn't know, maybe the Rambam doesn't really mean that it's a strict obligation, right? It's just a mitzvah, but he wants to impress on us that really try to do it yourself, just like the sages of the Talmud did it. So the Mishnah Berurah, he points out, he realizes that Lashon, he observes that the Lashon of the Rambam is a stronger expression than the Gemara said or that the Shulchan Aruch says, but maybe the Rambam is not being absolutely precise, but the Rambam is definitely trying to impress upon us the severity, this concept that you should really try to do the mitzvah yourself. Now, we learned the Gemara together and we learned the Shulchan Aruch, so we see two examples in the Gemara. We see Kedushin, that a person should perform the kedushin himself, the act of the kedushin itself, the marriage itself, he should physically perform it himself. And then the other example we gave was getting ready for Shabbos. Those are the two examples that the Gemara told us, and that's where it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Brura, the Chafetz Chaim, he writes that mitzvah bo yosim mibishlucho is said regarding all mitzvos. So even though the Gemara only talked about the two examples, but those are just examples for everything else. And the mitzvah bo yosim mibishlucho applies equally to every single mitzvah. The Mishnah Brura brings that. That's a quote from the Magen Avram, that it applies to every mitzvah. And it does seem like that, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says mitzvah bo yosim mibishlucho, and the Gemara compares it to Shabbos. It doesn't seem like it's unique to Shabbos and Kedushin. It seems like it's a general principle to everything. Agav, on the side, the Mishnah Brura says that if a person isn't home and it's time to light the Hanukkah candles, so it's the same principle, he should try to go home and light the Shabbos, the Hanukkah candles, rather than appoint the shliach, an agent, because mitzvah bo yosim ebishlucho. So the Mishnah Brura actually applies it in Hilchas Hanukkah to the Hanukkah candles as well. We're going to speak more about that coming up. Now, the Tosfos Shabbos was an early Pesach. It's brought in the Shari Tshuva. So it's brought in the Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch. It's an early Pesach. So he asks the following question. Why is it that when a person has to make a bris milah, or let's say a person is making a chasana, or the suda of a pidyon aven, why do we hire a caterer? Why don't we physically do it ourselves? Because mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. So if it's more important to do the mitzvah yourself, why do we find that the olam, that the world, is not noyig that way? People don't have the custom that they physically cater the thing themselves. A person makes a bris, so you hire a caterer, right? A person makes a pidyon aven, you make a suda, you hire a caterer. Nobody ever physically cooks the food themselves, right? So why is it that we don't say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho? Or what about a chasana, right? A chasana, there's a mitzvah, a Shabbat brachas, there's a mitzvah to be misameach the chasen v'kal, there's a mitzvah to have a suda in honor of the wedding, you make a Shabbat brachas. So why isn't that we don't try to physically cook the food ourselves? So you might say, because it's too hard, you have to hire a caterer. But we should at least do something, we should at least, like Shabbos, we should at least do something. So the Tosfos Shabbos holds, this sefer holds, and it's brought in the Shari Tshuva, that seemingly we should be required to participate in the actual preparation of a bris or a chasana or a pidyon aven or anything. So they ask this question, so why is it that the world doesn't do that? So we have to really justify the minig of the world. We have to defend the minig because the gedolim, our rabbanim, would never let something happen if it wasn't proper api halacha. So we could really bring like a proof from the way the Jewish people behave what the halacha is. The Gemara says sometimes if you're not sure what the halacha is, go out and see what the people are doing. So the fact that people do not do that, we have to sort of explain how that evolved. So it's very interesting because based on the learning that we've been doing over the past few weeks, there's a very easy distinction now between why there's a mitzvah, the Gemara says, to do Shabbos preparations yourself physically, and we don't find that mitzvah applies. We don't find that the world is nohag to do that mitzvah regarding preparing for other things like a sudas mitzvah of some other sort. So we could answer that you only say mitzvah bo, we only say that it's better to do it yourself regarding mitzvahs, not regarding preparations. Now this that you find, this that we find, that there's a mitzvah to engage in the actual preparations of Shabbos, so we've been learning all the past weeks, because the actual preparing for Shabbos is itself a mitzvah because of Kavod Shabbos. So if we remember, we brought in earlier classes over the past week, that the Vilna Gaon and the Briska Rav, who's brought in the Chiddushei Agrach, the Briska Rav and the Vilna Gaon, the Vilna Gaon was much before the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav apparently like thought of this idea on his own. The Vilna Gaon says in Tuf Kuf Chav Zayin in Hilchas Yom Tov, what's the difference between Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos? We always toss these ideas around. We're lighting the candles because of Oneg Shabbos, because we want to delight in the Shabbos, we want to enjoy Shabbos, we want to honor the Shabbos, we put on fresh clothes, we bathe in honor of Shabbos. What's the difference between the mitzvah of honoring Shabbos and the mitzvah of enjoying Shabbos? So the Vilna Gaon explains very, very simply, very clearly, enjoying Shabbos is what you do on the actual Shabbos. When you're eating the Suda, when you're making Kiddush, you're drinking some wine, you're enjoying the Shabbos. And we talked about having light. You should have candles lit by the Suda so you enjoy the meal. That's all Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is at the time that you're that you're observing the Shabbos, you should enjoy the Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is specifically the things that you do ahead of time in honor of the Shabbos. So if I have candles, if I have candles burning, we don't say I'm honoring the Shabbos, we say I'm enjoying the Shabbos. And how did you honor the Shabbos? You honor the Shabbos by having things ready in time for the Shabbos. So honoring Shabbos is one mitzvah, enjoying Shabbos is another mitzvah. Lighting the Shabbos candles, we learned, happens to fall under both categories. Because when you have light in the room, then you're going to enjoy the Shabbos and you'll enjoy the meal better. And you also, the fact that you prepared the light before, because you can't turn the candle on Shabbos, you can't turn the light on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So that's an act of kavod Shabbos. Taking a bath is kavod Shabbos. Putting on the clean clothes, the Shabbos clothes for Shabbos, that's kavod Shabbos, because you're doing something in advance to honor the Shabbos. So it turns out that honoring the Shabbos itself is a mitzvah. That's why we find that there's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbos, to do something physically, to do something to actually engage in the getting ready for Shabbos. But let's say we talked about getting ready for the bris, or we talked about cooking for the chasana, right? That's just a hechsher, that's just a preliminary, that's just preparing. So that is not in itself a mitzvah, right? So that's why we don't find, this is the answer to the question of the Taisa Shabbos, that's why we don't find that people strive to try to do something for, in preparation for the meal, for the wedding meal, or for the bris milah meal, or whatever it is, because there's no mitzvah per se to engage in the preparation. The mitzvah is to celebrate the bris with a suda, but we don't care how you got the suda prepared. But when it comes to Shabbos, it's not enough that when you come to Shabbos, presto, the meal is prepared. There's actually a mitzvah to engage in honoring the Shabbos ahead of time, getting ready for Shabbos. That's why mitzvah bo yosef b'shluchu applies to the actual preparation also. So that's what we can say based on what we've been learning. And Baruch Hashem, I found this in the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed basically says this idea. The Stei Chemed is like almost like a dictionary. It's like an encyclopedia. He has various topics, and under each topic, he has an arichas. He has a great. He brings all the different commentaries that are on that topic. So the Stei Chemed says that mitzvah bo yosef b'shluchu only applies to the hachanas, the preparations that are explicitly written in the Torah. So for example, Bob, you mentioned this last week, building a sukkah. Building a sukkah is only a preparation, but the pasuk says sukkos tasilicha. You should make a sukkah, or let's say matzah. The pasuk says bake the matzah, but it's not just about having matzah to make sure it was. There's a mitzvah to bake the matzah because it's a special preparation. You have to have a shmir. It has to be matzah shmura. You have to do it with certain kavana. So there's a mitzvah in the preparation itself. Then we say mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, because whenever the Torah explicitly talks about it, then the preparation itself becomes a mitzvah. So that's why the Gemara compares getting ready for Shabbos to the Kedushin. The Kedushin is the actual mitzvah, and the Torah talks about doing the Maisa Kedushin, and we also talk about preparing for the Shabbos to honor the Shabbos. So therefore, it mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho will manifest itself also in the actual preparation. Okay, so now here's the shiloh that we hinted to before. Is it better to perform the mitzvah yourself, right, even if the shliach would do a better job? Or do we care about the quality of the mitzvah? So until now, what we did was we laid the foundation that there's certainly an inyan that you should do the mitzvah yourself, right? You should do the mitzvah yourself rather than delegate it to a shliach. Rashi says you get more schar, you get more reward. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch says yishtadl, you should try. The Rambam says you're chayiv to do the mitzvah yourself. You shouldn't delegate it to somebody else. What if the choice is to do the mitzvah myself in a compromised way, in an inferior product, or to have someone else do the mitzvah and it will be a better product? So now, there are many examples that I came across that talk about this. So for example, an example for Chanukah. Two examples for Chanukah. Imagine if somebody, lo yaleinu, of Chas V'Shalom, is bedridden, sick in bed, and where should I light the Chanukah candles? Should I light the Chanukah candles next to my bed because I can't get out? Or should I have someone else light the Chanukah candles by the window? Because after all, there's a mitzvah of Pesumei Nisa. Yes. It would be better to do it by the window, even though nowadays the main Pesumei Nisa is in the home, but we still try to light also for the outside that people should see the Chanukah candles. So is it better to perform the mitzvah yourself and compromise the quality of the mitzvah because it won't be by the window? Or should you appoint an agent and light it by the window and get a better quality mitzvah, although you're giving up doing it physically yourself? What's more important?
Better mitzvah.
So you're going to end up being right. So there's actually a question about this. That's one example.
Yeah, my father's house, we actually moved the menorah.
To
from
where?
His bedside. His bed, well, right to the window in the same room. It was mamish, 3 feet away, 4 feet away. But he lit by the bed.
Very good. Okay.
He couldn't because he couldn't get out.
So, right, that's the Shaila. In other words, is it better to light yourself physically by the bed, or is it better to appoint an agent?
He did. The only thing the agent did was take the menorah and put it on the window.
Oh, and then he moved it afterwards.
Yeah, he moved
it. Okay, that's interesting. That's a good solution. Okay.
I thought you're not allowed to move it.
So really the halacha is that as long as it's better not to, but as long as it was lit in a proper place, then you can move it to another place also. It's better not to, but you could. The only time you can is if you light it in one place where I wouldn't be yotzei. Let's say for example I light it in a place,
a closet.
If I light it in a closet where I wouldn't be yotzei, then you can't be yotzei to bring it out to a place where you are yotzei. But if where I lit it I could be yotzei, then I can also move it somewhere else. It's better not to, but if you have to, extenuating circumstances. Here's another example. What if the person only has an inferior oil to light for Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles, and he has the option of contributing money into someone else's lighting with a better quality oil, with olive oil, right? So let's talk about Hanukkah. It's mitzvah min hamuvchar to light with olive oil, right? I don't know if everyone uses olive oil. It's your yotzei with candles or whatever, but it's definitely an enhancement to use the olive oil. So what if your choice is to use an inferior fuel? Well, you'll be yotzei, or the opportunity arises where you can purchase some of the oil and buy into someone else's mitzvah to light the Hanukkah candles with olive oil. Now, what are the pros and cons? It's a better mitzvah because it was done with the enhancement of the olive oil. But on the other hand, I'm giving up the opportunity to perform the mitzvah myself. So which one wins? So there's another question also by Hanukkah. We alluded to a similar example before. What happens if some of the members of the house, let's say the man is away, so should he call up at home and have his wife light at home at the proper time, which it would be a shliach for the man? The woman's also obligated, but it would be a shliach for the man. Or should he go home himself and light at a later time, right? So if I light myself, it's going to be a little past the ideal time. It'll be, let's say, at 9 o'clock at night, right? I can be yotzei 9 o'clock at night, especially nowadays that we're primarily lighting for the inside, but ideally you should light at the proper time, a little bit after the shkia or a little bit after the tzeis. So should I appoint an agent to light at the proper time, which is more ideal, or should I perform the mitzvah myself later when I get home, right? So this kind of question for Hanukkah comes up in different various forms. Is it better to perform the mitzvah yourself physically in an inferior way, or is it better to appoint an agent to perform the mitzvah in a more enhanced way, giving up the mitzvah bo yosim
v'shlucha? You mentioned a wife, she's an agent, or she's a chiyuv just like
so him? Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah calls it an agent. So in other words, there is a chiyuv, you both have an equal chiyuv, but the minhag is for the man to light. We talked about that, the minhag is to light. So if I'm giving that up and having my wife light, so I'm yotzei the lighting through someone else's hadlaka. It's not really truly a shliach, but it's through somebody else's hadlaka, bizman, but I'm not getting to do the mitzvah myself, which I normally would do. So is it better for me, if I'm making the decision, is it better for me to light myself in an inferior way, a less ideal way, or is it better for me to appoint an agent or to have someone else light at the proper time?
It's very different from the first example, because over here, it's not that I'm saying I want you to be my shi. You're lighting for me. He's lighting for himself, really. I'm just being yotzei through his lighting.
Good point. Where by the Hanukkah candle? In which case, by the case of the wife lighting at home later,
no,
or
the case, or if I'm coming to somebody, I have oil X.
Right.
But it's not that he's. It's like.
It's true. In other words, it might not be the concept of a shliach.
Right.
That case, it's probably a shliach because you're not a member of his household. So you're being yotzei with his halakha. He's a shliach for you. The case of the wife is probably not really a shliach. It's probably near ishu beso that your house has a candle, so you're yotzei not through the mechanism of shlichas. But there's probably a difference there. If you get somebody who's not a member of the house to light, so then he might be a shliach. He's not a member of your household. So that you might need shlichas for that.
So that's is that better? It's always better to do a better mitzvah. So if this person could do a different mitzvah, then obviously it's better to do a better mitzvah. But over here, he's doing this mitzvah anyways. All I'm doing is I'm just maybe contributing to the oil. So it's like we're losing one lighting, you know?
So you're saying you're giving up even more.
Right.
You're giving up more. I hear. Now, that's a good question. That's a good point. Now, there's a kshuva, the Rav Poalim. The Rav Poalim was from the Baal HaMechaber Ben Ish Chai. And he brings another example. Someone said about the Bris Milah, so not the case that you were thinking of, but there's a in Kabbalah Sfarim, and certain people are very makbid, it's like a halig inyan. It's a very important thing to be a sandik at a bris, to hold the baby during the bris. The Gemara compares it, the Zohar actually compares it to like the Mizbeach, and it's like you're offering a carbon on the Mizbeach. The person holding the baby becomes like the altar, like a Mizbeach, and you're offering a sacrifice to Hashem. So it's a tremendous inyan to be the sandik. So the Ben Ishchai has a story. There was once a man who knew how to perform a bris milah. He was a moyel himself. Right. Usually we don't have that. Usually we have to hire a moyel. But he was a moyel himself. He had a son, and the obligation to do the milah falls on him. He knows how to do it. Mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha. But on the other hand, he always wanted to be the sandik at his own son's bris. Ooh. And he wasn't able to do both simultaneously, right? He couldn't hold the baby and also do it. Perhaps someone could. Maybe theoretically you could. But he wasn't able to be the sandik and also to perform the milah simultaneously. So he asked the Ben Ishchai, the question was posed to the Ben Ishchai, is he allowed to forego performing the bris himself, which is his primary obligation, in order to assume the schus of being the sandik, right? Mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, but on the other hand, maybe it's such an important thing to be the sandik. So,
for him to be a moel, it's a mitzvah deoraita?
Because he's the one who's chayv. It's a mitzvah deoraita, because he's the one who's chayv. No, but the concept is the idea of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. He'll get the mitzvah anyway if he appoints a shliach. It's my obligation to do milah on my son. I physically don't know how to do the bris milah. If I appoint a shliach, I'll get the mitzvah. Right. I'll fulfill the mitzvah of milah. But I'm giving up the mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho. But I'm getting all the schar for being a sandik. So what's
that's
better?
Not that's
no. But you're right. But I'm getting the mitzvah deraisa of milah anyway through my shliach. I'm not performing the mitzvah. I'm getting the mitzvah. I'm fulfilling my obligation because I'm going to appoint the shliach. So the trade off is not, are you going to get the mitzvah of milah or get the sandik? The shaila is, I'm going to get the mitzvah of milah anyway.
I'm giving up
the mitzvah bo. So what's more important, mitzvah bo or sandik? So hold on. So now this suffix is brought in the Chayyadim. The Chayyadim is a standard paisik. The Chayyadim writes, imagine if there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, right? There's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So some people actually say that nowadays there might not be a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah because nowadays we don't learn from a Sefer Torah as much as they used to. Nowadays we learn from Svarim, so maybe the person should put his money towards Svarim. It's very interesting. The Rush says that it might not be the same level of mitzvah.
So the Rush says that.
Other people say that you can't just say that the mitzvah doesn't apply. We never say that the mitzvah doesn't apply. If the Torah gives a mitzvah, the mitzvah always applies. Some people say you can fulfill the mitzvah by writing one letter in the Sefer Torah. That's what we do. We sell a letter and everybody gets a mitzvah. Oh, yeah. So there's a question exactly what the nature of the mitzvah is. The question was posed to the Chayyadim, and the Chayyadim says he doesn't know the answer. If a person knows how to write the Sefer Torah himself, but on the other hand, if he hires a sofer, it'll be a nicer ksav. It'll be mehudr. It'll be nicer. He's not an expert sofer. He knows how. So is it better to perform the mitzvah yourself and write the Sefer Torah yourself? Or is it better, and mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, or is it better to hire a sofer and you'll have a more enhanced, it'll be a nicer Sefer Torah, net result?
In this example, it's better to do it, you know, to enhance the mitzvah.
So the Chayyadim says, Sarach Ian, he doesn't know the answer. The Chayyadim leaves the question unresolved. Isn't that interesting? The Chayyadim. Now, you're going to end up being right. Now, the Stei Chemet, I quoted him before, the Stei Chemet says, and he makes the point that you said, Rab Gidon, the Stei Chemet makes your point that he clarifies that the concept of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho is not in itself a chi of deraisa. You don't have an obligation from the Torah to do the mitzvah yourself. Rashi says it's all about getting more schar. If you do the mitzvah yourself, it's a better mitzvah because you're physically engaged in the mitzvah. But there's no midraisa requirement that you have to do it yourself. You can be yotze the mitzvah through somebody else. Also, right? Also, hider mitzvah, enhancing the mitzvah, Zekeli Vanvehu, right? Zekeli Vanvehu, that I should glorify Hashem through the mitzvah, is itself also only an asmachta. So doing the mitzvah mehuder might also only be the Rabbanan or just an asmachta. So for example, we have a principle that it's better, you have to add a third. Whatever you were planning on paying for your esrig, if you find a nice one, ad shlish, it's better to do it to add the shlish. That obligation might only be rabbinic, right? The mitzvah of hider mitzvah might only be rabbinic. And the mitzvah of mitzvah mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho might also only be rabbinic, right? So we're not dealing that one obligation is stronger than the other. So simply the shaila is, what's better to, what am I trying to accomplish? That's the steichem. So the Sharik Shuva in Tavkuf Nun Aleph brings from the Shvus Yaakov a very interesting thing. He brings that an analogy. It's not quite the shaila of mitzvah b'yosem b'shulcho, but it's an analogy. There's a concept of zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs, that it's better to perform the mitzvah with alacrity, right? The first opportunity you should perform the mitzvah, don't push it off. So for example, we find that's why the bris milah is generally performed in the morning. So sometimes you find that that the moel can't come, they do it in the afternoon. But generally the mitzvah is always in the morning because you're supposed to perform the mitzvah with alacrity. So it's the same shaila over here. What happens if I have a toss-up? Should I perform the mitzvah zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs with alacrity, or should I perform a better mitzvah? Imagine if it's Sukkos, and right now I have the opportunity to shake this lulav and esrig, but if I wait a couple of hours and push off the mitzvah, I'm uncomfortable doing that. I usually like to do the mitzvah right away in the morning, but if I wait a couple of hours, I have a chance to get a better quality lulav and esrig. So is it better to perform the mitzvah later on with a better quality lulav and esrig, for example, or is it better to perform the mitzvah right away? There's also a Trumas Hadeshen. There's a Trumas Hadeshen. What happens if the day of Pidyon HaBen falls out on Shabbos? Right? It falls out on Shabbos. The day 31 falls out on Shabbos. So you can't give money to the Kohen on Shabbos. So should I devise some kind of strategy, maybe give the money before and then it'll be effective automatically on Shabbos? Or should I push it off and perform it the next day in the proper way? Right? So the Trumas Hadeshen says that it's better to push off the mitzvah and you're giving up on the performing it with alacrity, Zrizim Akdimin, and perform the mitzvah later in a better, in a nicer way. So the Pais can make an analogy, right? It's not quite our Shaila. The Chayadam says he doesn't know the answer. He leaves it unresolved. But the Pais can make an analogy, just like the Trumas Hadeshen, and just like the Shvus Yaakov say, that you have a toss-up between mitzvah, you have a toss-up between Zrizim Makdim and the mitzvahs, that it's better to perform the mitzvah with alacrity versus the quality of the mitzvah. So give up on Zrizim Makdim and the mitzvahs and go for the quality. So the Pais can make an analogy, just like you go for the quality over the alacrity, you should go for the quality over the mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, over the advantage of performing the mitzvah yourself. It's all about getting more schar, right? What's a better, what does Hashem want you to do more? What gives more reward? So we don't perform the mitzvah for reward, but it's an indicator of what does Hashem want. So the decision is, generally speaking, that you should go for the quality of the mitzvah, right? And if the real reason why you're going for the quality of the mitzvah is because you want to glorify the mitzvah, then it's not going to be held against you that you gave up the opportunity of performing the mitzvah yourself, right? So going through the cases, if I have a question, should I write the Sefer Torah myself and it'll be a sloppy job, or should I have an expert write the Sefer Torah? So most of the Paiskim, the consensus seems to be that it's better to produce the quality of the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that it's easier to read, it'll be better serving the purpose of a Sefer Torah, you should go for the quality of the mitzvah. In the case of the moel versus the sandik, he wanted to be the sandik over being the moel. So the Ben Ish Chai paskins that he's allowed to give up performing the mitzvah himself. He'll get the mitzvah anyway because he has a shliach, and he can be the sandik because the whole reason to do mitzvah bo yosem b'shulcho is because you get more schar. But this person felt he would get more schar being the sandik. So it's not a strict obligation. Remember, this is all in light of the fact that the Rambam says chayiv, that you have to. But we're still saying that that's only if the alternative is doing it through a shliach. But if the alternative is an enhanced product, a better mitzvah, or quote unquote an extra schar, then the consensus seems to be that you can do it through a shliach. It's learned. It's an analogy to Zrizim Makdimin.
By the way, Rabbi Yosef wrote a book that disagrees with Ben Ish Chai in almost everything he quotes from the Kabbalah or Zohar.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Now, the Kshuvas Doiviv Meisharim. So the Doiviv Meisharim was from the Kshibina Rav. The Kshibina Rav was a tremendous going. This question was posed to the Kshibina Rav, specifically the question of the Sefer Torah. So also discussing whether there really is a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, specifically Sefer Torah, or whether or not you can be Yotzi with one letter, and so on. So the Kshibina Rav brings a very interesting proof from Yushalmi. We actually mentioned this halacha in previous Shurim. The mitzvah is that when it comes to the Omer, the barley offering on the second day of Pesach, cutting, harvesting the barley itself is a mitzvah. So for example, if you found that there was already barley that was harvested, there's a mitzvah to harvest new barley specifically for the mitzvah lishma. It's not like plowing. Plowing to plant the barley in the first place, if it was already plowed, there's no mitzvah to plow specifically. Matzah charesh eino charesh. We mentioned that. There's no mitzvah to actually plow. But the harvest, there's actually a mitzvah to harvest. So the Yerushalmi says, what happens if all the fresh barley was harvested already, and the only barley that's growing is dried out inferior barley? So the Jerusalem Talmud says that it's better to go for the fresh barley that was harvested already, not for the purpose of the mitzvah, rather than go to be mekayin the mitzvah of harvesting and offering the inferior barley as the carbon. So the Shabina Rav makes a kalvachomer. This is deraisa. This is mamish deraisa. There's a mitzvah deraisa to harvest the barley lishma for the purpose of the mitzvah, and the Yerushalmi still paskins that it's better to go for the quality carbon, the end result, the better quality barley, than to perform the mitzvah of harvesting lishma and offering inferior. It's a kal v'chomer. If it's more important, the quality of the mitzvah, the end result, so certainly you should give up mitzvah bo yosim v'shlucho in order to do the mitzvah. When it comes to a Sefer Torah, so the final consensus is that it's better to hire the expert Sefer to write, but you should write a letter at the end, and you'll get the mitzvah according to the Rishonim, that fixing a letter is considered a full fulfillment, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that, not like the Shagas Aryeh, who says that it's the mitzvah is to write the entire Sefer Torah yourself, right? So the Shagas Aryeh argues on what we normally do. The Shagas Aryeh held that the mitzvah is to write the entire Sefer Torah. Most poskim say that you're allowed to just fix a letter, and that's also a kiyum. So the advice would be to hire the expert sofer if we ever have the opportunity to write the Sefer Torah in an enhanced way, and you want to get the mitzvah with your body, so write a letter. Now, this is something that you touched on. We mentioned this in earlier shiurim. When it comes to Hanukkah, so the Mishnah Berurah says mitzvah bo yosim v'shlucho applies to Ner Hanukkah as well, that there's a mitzvah to physically light the candle yourself, but not everyone agrees with that, because when it comes to Hanukkah, the point that you made, it might be that the mitzvah is not the lighting. The mitzvah is to have the candle, it has to be lit properly for the purpose of the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is ner ishu beso, the mitzvah is that every home should have the Hanukkah candles lit. You have to be a bar chiyuva, you have to be somebody who is himself obligated in Hanukkah, but if your wife lights for you, or if a member of the household lights for you, it's not a shliach, it's a primary kiyum, it's a primary fulfillment, because there's no mitzvah that you should specifically light, there's a mitzvah that somebody who's obligated in the household should light the candle for the house. We all light, we have a meaning that we all light, but the actual essential mitzvah is that a candle should be lit by a bar chiyuva in the house. So some people want to take issue with the Mishnah Berurah that if you don't need to have a shliach, if anybody of the household could light, perhaps there's no concept of mitzvah bo yosim v'shluchah when it comes to getting married, right? So you have to perform the kedushin. So I can authorize a shliach, but you have to do it. So it's better to do it yourself. But when it comes to Hanukkah, perhaps there's no mitzvah on any one person more than anyone else. As long as a candle was lit in the home on behalf of the family, that's a full-fledged kiyum. So perhaps there's no adifus, there's no advantage to one person lighting over the other. Let's say you're just planning on having one candle. The essential mitzvah is one candle per night for Hanukkah. And there are 10 people living in the house. So you can be yotze the mitzvah with the one candle. Who lights the candle, right? Are people fighting to light the candle because mitzvah bo yosin of Yishlucha? Maybe, right? But on the other hand, the other way to look at it is that Chazal established that you only need one candle per family. So there's no mitzvah per se that anybody should physically light the candle more than anyone else. So there wouldn't be an idea of mitzvah bo yosin of Yishlucha. So a lot of the poskim can take issue with the Mishnah Berurah's analysis to Ner Hanukkah.
We learned also before Shomea Kione, it's right. The same thing. So if you answer and the Hanukkah,
that's a good example. In other words, Shomea Kone, is there a mitzvah to blow the shofar more than to hear the shofar? Probably not, because the mitzvah is to hear. So you're physically doing the mitzvah just as much as the blowing, although not to take away from somebody who's blowing the shofar. But we all get the equal mitzvah, because
actually, no.
Yashikoyach.